Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my transformation, the unfolding of personal life experiences. I am your host, Sandra Lucas. I will share with you intimate thoughts, relationships, and experiences from prayer and meditation to inspire and empower those on a spiritual journey to self-realization, God's children who are ready to wake up and claim their power. All shows are pre-recorded. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. This is Sandra Lucas hosting My Transformation.
Hello, welcome to My Transformation by Sandra Lucas. Today is June 1, 2011, the first day of a brand new month. For the past couple of days, I have not done my normal meditating as far as getting a Bible verse from the Lord and contemplating it and writing down my thoughts and from the verses. The last couple of days, God has been just showing me things through other means, like maybe it's a book or a teleconference, or just me just simply sitting around, just things popping in my mind. But God has just shown me, like, okay, Sandra, it's time for you to just receive this, accept it, and claim it. And that's exactly what I did yesterday. He showed me something yesterday, and I could not stop laughing. And I was just jumping up and down and dancing all through the house. And, oh, my God, it was such an experience. And I was just cracking up because I knew what he showed me was true. And I've known it for years. But knowing something and actually claiming it and owning it are two different things. So even though I knew it for all these years, I finally just said, I claim it. I claim it because I know this is true. And I've known, it's like you're searching for something and you're searching for what you already know. And that's what I've been sharing in my transformation, is that we know these things. We know so much, but because of this onion that we allow to grow within our own lives by believing in what society tells us, or family or friends or whoever, the media, and then we end up growing an onion that really doesn't belong to us. But we create this onion with our beliefs. And I created such a large onion that what I knew just got covered up. And so it's not like I no longer knew it. It's just that it was so far buried that it just wasn't at the forefront of my mind. And even when you read things or hear things and it's, you connect with it, you feel a part of it, but it's still so buried that you don't really, really fully embrace it. So God was just like, come on now, this is it. This is it. You're just going to have to claim this and stop your searching. Stop all this that you're going through because you already know the answers. You know who and what you are. You know everything. Just claim it, Sandra. And it's like, it was just so calm. Oh, God. You just had to be there. I was just so filled with joy. I was just dancing, and I don't know what kind of dance I was doing, but I was dancing like I was a dancer. Man, I was just tearing my floor up. I was just dancing, and I was just so full of energy, and just, oh, my God. I was just, woof. But anyway, I went ahead and claimed it because God was just like, this is it. This is it. You don't need to keep doing all this searching and digging, and this is it, man. Just claim. Claim you. Claim you now. And I did. I did it. And so for the past couple of days, this is what I've been going through. And then I went through, I'm on here now to share something with you that I found in my packing. I went to start unpacking some boxes. and I came across my box with a lot of books in it that I've handwritten. I had bought boxes when I was first doing my spiritual search. I bought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of books from authors back in the 1800s, and I took those books and I learned so much from them that I copied each book and sent the actual book to my children. I like divide them among my children and sent them to them, but the ones I did not keep, which was the majority of them, I handwrote them from cover to cover. And I came across one of those books, and I just opened the book, and then I came, and whatever page I came to, I just started reading it. I was like, oh, my God, I got to share this. And so I'm going to just turn to these pages that I came across, and I'm going to share them with you. And when I read this, I had to stop reading it, and I just went to my little happy thing, and I went back and finished reading it. So I'm just going to share this with you because I just got to share this. Okay, so it's called Accept a Man Be Born Again. The journey begins with a path of thorns, and the traveler must go barefoot. There are two different stages in human evolution, the minor and the major stage, symbolically can be called the younger and the elder. The minor stage of the soul occurs when man only desires what he can see, hear, perceive, or touch, and beyond that does not care and does not wish for anything else. The major stage occurs when man has experienced life to a certain extent and has known pleasure and pain, enthusiasm and disappointment, and has realized the variability of life, only then has he reached the stage of maturity. These minor and major stages do not depend upon the attainment of a certain age, nor do they depend upon a particular education. They depend upon the inner life. When a man has penetrated into life as far as he can go, and when he has passed the limit of the minor stage, then he arrives at the major stage. The man who is in the minor stage should not be forced into the major stage. He must first sleep well before he can awake. On the spiritual path, the man who is in the minor stage says, "Yes, I would like to go on this path, but where shall I arrive?" He is not sure of the way. He won't go alone and wants to know whether it is safe to journey on that particular path. On the path, he will look back and at the same time try to look forward. A thousand times doubts or fears come. He is restless and wants to know how far he is from his goal. He really is still a child, although he has a desire to travel on. About the conditions of the major stage, the Bible says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Man who is outwardly busy in the pursuit of worldly things is not satisfied, but has a constant yearning in his soul for something more, and this keeps him uneasy. Those in the world who have really suffered, who have been disappointed, brokenhearted, knows that somewhere there is a consoler greater than any in the world, a friend dearer than anyone else, a protector stronger than any earthly one. Knowing that the world is not to be depended upon, the one who has gone through all this looks for that great one in himself, his own being, his true inner being, the friend who is a friend in life and after death, in pleasure and pain, in riches and poverty, one upon whom one can always depend, who always guides rightly, who gives the best advice. That friend is hidden in his own heart. He cannot find a better one. That friend is the origin, source, and goal of all. Religious authorities of different times have kept humanity ignorant of the knowledge of God and have only given it to a belief in God. And it is a lack of this knowledge that has made the man of reason rebel against that which he could not understand. There remained no link between knowledge and belief, and that is how the reign of materialism came to the world. At such time of materialism, chaos comes into the world. All is confusion and unrest. Many wish to do good, but do not know how. Such times can be called the decay of Dharma, when the spirit is gone and only the form remains. No doubt at times a warning comes to the soul in the form of intuition. But the intoxication of life, the mist, is so great that the message is not heard, not understood, not received, until the messenger has disappeared. What is the manner and method of the journey? When a person rises above all the things of the world, such as power, wealth, possessions, all that gives pride and vanity, there comes a desire in his heart. Man's first tendency toward humanity is a loving, charitable attitude to the extent that forgiveness dictates every action of his life. When a man's attitude has become a loving attitude, and when he has developed a tendency to serve, to forgive, to tolerate, and to reverence for all, good and bad, young and old, then he begins his journey. To explain the path, there is no better symbol than the cross. No one without courage, strength of will, and patience can follow this path. The journey begins with a path of thorns, and the traveler must go barefoot. It is not always easy to be tolerant and patient, to refrain from judging others, and to love one's enemy. It is a dead man who walks on this path, one who has drunk the bowl of poison. The beginning of each path is always difficult and uninteresting. Hard for everybody. The first part of the path is constant strife and struggle with life. But as one approaches the goal, the path gets easier. The distance seems greater, but the path is smoother and the difficulties less. The journey is achieved by realizing in oneself the answer to the questions. What am I? Am I body, mind, or what else? Do I originate from the earth, or if not, from where? As soon as one has started on the journey, one's lower nature rises up, and all one's follies and weaknesses want to drag one down to earth, and the struggle of breaking these chains requires the strength of a salmon. Of a Samson. Sorry. Then comes the struggle between the beauty of matter and spiritual beauty. Beauty in form and color is more realistic. Spiritual beauty is hidden and missed until one comes to a stage when spiritual beauty becomes the beauty, which is a shining light. When man has acquired knowledge, power, and magnetism, he becomes conscious of having greater power than others, of knowing more than others, and of being able to achieve more than others. To use these faculties rightly is another struggle. He should not pride himself on these accomplishments. There is an enemy who starts with him on the journey and never leaves him, his pride and spiritual egotism. And this enemy stays with him as long as he is on the path. It is a great temptation to think, on having received inspiration and power, I can do no understand more than you. It is a constant struggle until the end, and at any moment one may stumble and fall down. Only the steadfast traveler will persist in rising up every time, for without patience he may lose his way. But those who journey on this path will get help. As Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. It is the goal that is important, and so is the right attitude of the soul towards it, not the things one meets on the path. And that is all I will read to you today. And the next time, God willing, I will read to you the purpose for which we were born. May God bless you always. This is Sandra Lucas with My Transformation.